Undergraduate graduate course in history to interview a retired businessman, A.W. Parks, 2398 Lilla Circle, Southwest. Time 4 o'clock. Date July the 3rd, 1973.
Mr. Parks, will you tell me about your early life?
Cuyahoga County, Newnan, Georgia. 1898.
Oh, you tell me anything about your family?
My father and mother and family of 11 children. Father lived to get 98, my mother lived to get 106. And have seven brothers and sisters living now. I'm the youngest. There are four deceased.
Can you tell me something about the type of education that you had?
I went to school in Newnan, Georgia, McClellan Academy. A Presbyterian school.
What was the relationship between blacks and whites in Newnan?
I didn't know the difference. My time when I left Newnan, of course, it was different what I did. I hadn't been classed, or just happened to be colored, but so far as the prejudice and all, my family didn't have no prejudice.
Well, why do you, was there any prejudice against the other blacks down there?
No, there was certain class, there wasn't.
They didn't make no distinction between the blacks and the white in Newnan?
Well, the state was segregated, of course. Are you segregated so far as public? Privately, I mean, my life never was segregated. My mother's life was never segregated.
You could go in any place in Newnan you wanted to?
Yes, I could, if they know whose son I was. Well, I always knew anyway. I was small at the time. And my mama went in a place, you know.
Well, segregation then was just for a certain class of black people down there.
Well, if you just what the if you lived the life they thought you lived, they didn't pay attention to it. So far as I mean going to public places, of course churches and things like that was segregated. White went to white, colored went to colored, but whenever they wanted to go, they wasn't kept from it. As I know, I can't remember. I mean, not the class of places, I don't think, because my mama used to go to white churches every Sunday about. I mean, because she was what you call a midwife, and everybody knew her, and Newnan, Georgia, so they put her on the mothers of Newnan.
Was there ever any lynching in Newnan?
Yes, I remember one public lynching there, one man lynching.
You witnessed a public lynching?
Well, I was living at the time. I was too small. My daddy wouldn't let me go. A heap of people went.
What did they lynch this black for?
Oh, killing a man.
White man?
No, a colored man. Of course, lynching is most everywhere in those days.
Can you give me any examples of discrimination or any incident that happened between blacks and whites in your lifetime in Newnan?
No, I can't. My statement is first, not in the two classes. Newnan was a rich town. See, there's a manufacturer over there early days. Five brothers came in over. The first boiler manufacturer in the South, they all was millionaires, and all the people that went from that family got to be millionaires. It came to be the richest little town there was anywhere in the South in the early days.
When did you come to Atlanta?
1915.
Yeah. You weren't here when the race riot occurred in 1906.
No.
Did it affect you in any way in Newnan?
Well, when I had a older next to my older brothers here, when he left. I don't know how he got home, but he's home early enough. I don't know where he walked or how he got home. But
he left Atlanta coming back to Newton?
Yeah, and stayed until it's over.
Did the whites treat you any different down there while the riot was going on in Atlanta?
I don't know. I was small. I haven't heard about it. I didn't hear my older people say anything about it. I don't think it did.
When you come to Atlanta, how you get in the shoe business? Or did you do anything else before you got in the shoe business?
Yeah, when I was in high school, you know, Newman, I was the kind of fellow I always looked at around thing. When I went to shoe shop, this was a white gentleman. And I'd look around, do things, ask him questions. He found all it was interesting. He liked me to trade, like several colored people to trade.
This white German in
the middle? Yeah, he went back to Germany in the First World War.
Did the whites resent you working in...
No, they didn't resent you working nowhere. That any white man wants you to work. If they did, they couldn't do nothing about it, not that class.
Well, when you got to Atlanta, how'd you start in Newman? Did you come straight here and start a business, or a shoe store?
No, I didn't. Came in and worked for old shoe shop, John T. Hill. He had been in business about 30 years. He's old hand carpenter, hand shoemaker. Of course, I come up hand and machine. This man like me had all kind of machine. I learned on machine. I could also do handwork. I worked for John T. Hill, started in 1916. And worked for him off and on several times. And I went away several times. Took several different courses.
Well, why'd you happen to leave him these times you left him?
Well, I just wanted to improve myself. That's one way that I always very excited, you know what I mean? When I get enough money, I thought I want to go away. I'd go away and take something that I thought I was interested in, I could learn about.
But when you started the business, has it always been where it's located on the street now?
No, it's again on the corner of Ashburn.
Were there any examples? Did anybody discriminate against you when you started your business?
A few colored people.
What'd they do?
Well, they said I wouldn't make it. It was a Jews business. A colored man couldn't run no shoe repair shop.
Is he having trouble with the whites?
Not a bit. When I began to grow fast in the early 20s, improved from starting off myself and one help up to about 14 employees. I bought a truck and I used to go to the white settlement and get a carload of shoes, and they didn't make no difference. They'd wait on me. They'd come get them. So that was for depression. No, they didn't. They knew I was colored. They give me the weight preference because they say I'm more resolved and I'd do them what they ask for. And therefore, I succeeded on top. Depression.
How were blacks treated here in the courts when you came to Atlanta? Is there any example where they were discriminated against?
If you didn't have some right on the other side to speak for you, just another thing. You wasn't as an anybody, just wasn't nobody. Just talked to you like you wasn't nobody and done anything to want about it. But if you had somebody to speak to you, just all like anybody else, most of them in some poor fight.
Well, I would never know. Did they address you when you went to court as Mr. Parks?
Never did, no.
What'd they call you?
And they call me by name. That's just recently started. In fact, all things like that recently started.
What hospital facilities were available for blacks when you came to Atlanta?
At the time I came, there was a little hospital. Well, Grady was, Kurt could go there, but I mean, there was one owned by Kurt, but I think it was the name of it was, I can't
Well, Grady was really the only place they could go.
Yeah, that was the only public place, because you had to have money to go to these public, because he's a private doctor. He go over my place.
Well, how did Grady treat the black people when they went to?
Well, I haven't been to Grady in quite a while, but I'm talking about back then.
I want to know back then how did they treat them.
I said, it seemed to have been a little better treatment than you get now.
They treated
the last
you better,
time I was there.
They treated you better back in the 20s than they do now?
Yeah, because I went there myself for some concern. In the teens, and I didn't know any different. The doctor treated me and kept me on. He was white and I was colored. But I find out now, I've seen some things now. Look like they treated better than any white that I've seen.
Paul Washington High, located on Hunter Street. You remember when it was established?
It was established where it's still established where it is.
About
1924.
Why did they put Washington High on Hunter Street when, as I understand it, most of the blacks lived in the Fort Walk?
It's on Washington. See, it's on C Street, Washington High. It's not. Oh, yeah, it is one part on Hunter Street.
Yeah.
Well, at the time, all the cut was coming this way. You see the big contracting company boom up here, service company, the biggest contract at that time when it opened up a few minutes after. Done no contract working in.
Who opened up this service company?
Herman Perry, the president of Standard Life.
And they were moving this way?
Yeah, the cart was moving by in at the time. Astor Street was there's a few houses this side of Astor Street at that time. That was a field out where I was. That was just a field bought and just farming at that time.
Did you know Henry McNeil Turner?
Yes, I met him.
Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, he was on the forefront leaders. I mean, the colored people, as far as he could cover, I think he covered the ground very nicely, but it's so much he might could if he got someone to help him. If he helped somebody else to help him, he might have got more done.
He wanted the blacks to go back to Africa. Did you agree with this? I wonder why he wanted to do this.
I think he had something in his mind that nobody else didn't know about, because he had traveled, had been in service, had mixed with all nationalities, all kind of people. And I think he saw a place where if he'd go back over there to have a home and all, that was his foresight. It was altogether different, I guess, most everybody else didn't, very few follow him. So, but I think he saw it in himself. He could live better than he feel he could. Other people could. The whole cult race, I don't think, would succeed. So,
you remember seeing the Ku Klux Klans out here in Atlanta at any time?
Yes, I have seen a march.
Where did you see a march?
On the street, sir.
On Hunter Street?
Right through Hunter Street to Auburn Avenue.
Why? Were they marching?
I don't know. There's something, I guess, just was going on. They was trying to scare the colored, I guess, but it didn't succeed because he put the hoods to pull off and all that thing right there.
What year was this?
That was 1932
when the Klan was marching in.
32 or 31, yeah.
And some of the blacks pulled the hoods off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What did they do? How did they react when their hood was pulled off?
Nothing they could do, because they didn't know who done it, because there's so many. Seeing the color wasn't afraid of them, they didn't see. You would have thought they'd have been afraid of them. They just went on about the business. One thing about Auburn Avenue, they know what it felt. See, after Rock, Auburn Avenue always stood up. Because the color come out on top, as you know, when the Rock was.
When the rap was going on, the color came out on top?
Yeah.
How'd they come out on top?
Well, 10-1 white was killed to the color. But that never was told. It was proven to people that I didn't see them. The people picked them up in those wires and just throw them in hitch wire them up and throw them in there like cardboard. It's more white. There's 10 white put in out of one cup. So,
do you remember who was the mayor of Atlanta when you came?
When I came to Atlanta, that slipped me, I don't remember.
Do you remember any mayors in Atlanta whose attitude towards the black people in Atlanta was bad?
You mean,
that they spoke out against the blacks in Atlanta?
Yes, I think we had our four good mayors here was really good mayors to try to keep race or relation together all since then.
Who were they?
First mayor was Key.
What was his attitude toward black?
It was fine. It was just so as long as you're a citizen, try to do right. If you was a citizen with him, that's where you...
Did they have any mayors that were against black?
Oh, yes, we had some bad ones.
Which one were those? You recall that name?
Well, I remember one was named Sims. I remember him well.
What did he do? What did he say?
Well, he just didn't care anything about culture, nor just anything having to cut it with nothing. He'd do to improve it, no kind of way. He was all right in a way. It's understandable. Some people, they don't care anything about it. They won't do anything to help it.
You remember W. E. Du Bois?
Yes, I remember.
You ever seen him?
Yes, I've
talked to him?
Yes, talked to him down the Wake Farming.
What kind of person was he?
He was a peculiar person to me. Agree with him very much. We argued more than we did anything.
Why you two didn't agree?
Well, his philosophy wasn't... I didn't like it. His philosophy...
What was his philosophy?
Well, I don't think he really knew it himself. He knew what he wanted, but he didn't...
What did he want?
Well, he just wanted all the people to stop doing any kind of trades or anything like that, a manual work or anything, learning something to do, and he wanted everybody to go to college, sing at one time, and learn something, and there wasn't nothing to do it. Of course, that was one of my...
And you were working with your hand.
Yeah, I'm working my hand, he said. And that's what he believed in. He said, man, I'll work with his head, but I think that's... It shows now my argument is right now for it, so I'm not adding to him about why he was, but he, I guess he was standing up for his race, I guess it sounds, that's what he said.
Did you know Booker T?
Yes, I went to Booker T school just before he died.
Did you ever talk with him?
Yes, I talked.
What kind of person did you think he was?
Kind of man, so far as helping anybody in the world want to be helped. If you didn't know how to be helped, he'd show you how to be helped. Because he'd take what you knew yourself. And he didn't take that farm at that time. He had 10,000 acres. He let you do whatever you want on that farm until you get your mind on improving it. And he'd improve it. I think more colored people in the South didn't improve our Booker T at that time. Because I don't think many of them said, but they did. I'm not talking about the trades or like, but they just left school and went on far. They just added to what they had. Because when a man take a trade, he don't have to stop learning. That's the way I think.
If you recall, blacks did not vote in the Democratic primary.
Yes, I did recall good. Because I tried and couldn't do it.
Because what?
I tried and couldn't do it.
What were you told when you went to vote?
Well, it's white primary.
And blacks couldn't vote.
Yeah, you now know where to register. If you couldn't register, now how are you going to vote? So King down in Columbus broke that down, I think it was in 1934.
How did he break it down?
Well, it went to court. It couldn't hold it down no longer.
Well, what was the first year that black voted here?
It didn't soon as it broke down. Well, they broke, it was a fill. Anything comes on fill or runoff and things like that. But our president election off. But at that time, you see, you had to pay a dollar to register to vote. That dollar, for, it put your name on there so you could vote.
That's what they call poll tax.
Poll tax.
Did the whites try to stop you from voting after the court said you couldn't vote in the Democratic Party?
Yeah, I heard it places. That didn't happen.
I mean, here in Atlanta, did they try to stop you?
Not in the, Maine. Maybe some of them had a very few colored people, but not in the Maine precinct where it was. Didn't have no trouble. Some of them had trouble registering. When you go to register it, try to get something up against them, a thing like that, and they had to get set straight for to go back so it could register.
Do you remember when Georgia wrote into their constitution in 1903 to stop blacks from voting or disfranchising? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I read about it, and I have some clipping somewhere, but I don't know where it is. But I was too young to remember.
You were too young to vote anyway.
Yeah, I was just on fire.
But you recall it. Well, what did your parents say about that?
Well, I wasn't law enough to know what it was all about it, but I know it was a big uproar because in the neighborhood I used to hear. Of course, back in those days, most of it's down noon, that was a farming district through there. There's rich people all around it. As I said, it was two classes of people there. The white would talk to those colored that was living well.
How many years have you been in business on Hunter Street?
Well, I've been now just the 52nd year. Thank you.
You was in business for 52 years?
Well, still in business. I mean, but I'm not that. I retired, but I put Tony over this man. He's still under my supervision until I turn it over to him on account of that. I had to do that on account of, I don't know where this poor side of me was, but if I had sold out, he'd have to pay maybe double the rent he's paying now. So I always smart enough to not pay too much for things. That's one thing I got by. I think that was my success of business. As I said, when you asked me the question why I used to leave the place and go. Well, I went off several times. I never mentioned it to anybody, but I went to several schools. You know, took courses of 6 weeks or 8 weeks, business, a different kind of course. Something I thought I could improve.
Did you go to one of the local colleges here?
No, I didn't go to college here. No.
But you did take courses to improve yourself?
Yeah, I went to courses and I took through mail and all that. I guess I took a dozen courses. I even went to the University of Michigan and all for 6 weeks.
When did the black business started coming on Hunter Street?
Well, black business been on Hunter Street ever since colored people been in business.
What contributed to the success of it?
Well, now, if you go on back there before Tunnel Center,
well, that's where I want you to go.
There was colored people in business for they live. Now, take from Thomas Station right along on that. Now, there were one or two. There's a fellow named Vernon James that one of the biggest grocery stores right along there, back of Friendship Church.
The white and black patronizers?
Yes, everybody. White Leo right there. That was Davis Street was a, expressway there. Freeway going through there, what you call that, Northside Drive. That was Davis Street that time. White Leo. Leo from, a little north of Hunter Street all the way on out to Bellwood. Didn't no color Leo on that then, but White did. Hell no. Well, White lived up above that church. Yeah, he wasn't. The church was right up above Friendship there. All white went to that, and Friendship was just a few steps away was a colored church. those things back in them days, wasn't nothing like as cheap as it is now. Honest advantage, I can, my experience, I've learned about a difference in color and white. The color just didn't have anything, didn't have opportunity to get up as fast as white, and they made some mistakes. I won't argue about
what mistakes you think the blacks made.
Made mistakes about not getting in politics and by not getting in law.
Well, in many instances, they couldn't get in this because they couldn't get into these schools.
Well, the white got in there, and he wasn't no more highly educated. Well,
but say in 1890, could no black go to no, when you were born? Could no black go to white school here in Georgia, university, could?
I'm not speaking about that, but see, at the time, these folk coming on back in 1900, where you go back to 1860.
All right.
Go back to 1860. They were judges and all kind of lawyers and everything else. Didn't ever go to college.
How are you?
All right, thank you.
Didn't ever go to college, you know. They had law officers. In fact, up into sometimes in the early 20s, you could be a lawyer just so you passed the bar, and wouldn't have to be above 8th grade. Right here, but the colored man just didn't take to it. Because he didn't have no colored man to push him on. He said, go to college to do it. He could have done like the farm. All these folks was coming about the same way of what I'm trying to say now. Because I happened to be amongst some of those rich people was colored and they was white. They was white people. On big farms and work part-time, wage hand, that was one of the high body deans, and had what they call a hay worker. They furnish everything and take hay, what to make, and all that. Well, they just, according to the population at that time, they almost in many colors. My dad had a cousin on about 4,000 next man. He worked pretty near 300 or 400 colored people. And they saw me on gin house and commissary and everything else. He took care of everything. Of course, when he got that stuff, he'd get it just like the white man got it just a cheap. I mean, it wasn't, in fact, in the old days, it wasn't like it is now. Of course, all these foreigners hadn't gotten the milk.
How did the segregated laws in Atlanta affect you?
Well, it never did affect me, but it was. Hey,
could you ride on the trolley any way you wanted to?
Well, no, you couldn't. At the time, I rode it. Of course, I always rode it where I wanted, because I lived when I moved here. My dad bought right, built a home right over there. And I'd catch the car at the end of the line. I'd hear walk over his field, and I'd get the seat I want, and they couldn't make me move. I can go where I want. So.
What about if you're going downtown?
Going downtown? I'd stay after I get home, but where I'd go,
How were you treated in the stores when you went downtown? Were they courteous to you?
Well, some people were, some people weren't. People couldn't hardly know them. Well, it's good. Well, in my day, because my wife done more trade, all the trading I done back to those stores. Some of them gone out of business now, like Lewis and Hyde and all those stores. She got what she want, because she know the clerk. The woman know the weight on her, just like she was not a white one. So she always told me she got what she want. And if they had something she thought they needed, they'd call her, just like Richard and Dave and some of them calling her. I don't, my part, I don't try to protect some, but I know the others catching what you call, I don't know what, but I never did. I've seen it, and I can witness it, know it happened.
Well, what did you witness? Tell me about what you witnessed.
Just some of those things I've seen, people being treated wrong and didn't have nobody to protect them.
How were they treated wrong?
Well, that's something that come up sometimes. Colored man's involved, white man involved. The colored man just says something, the police may have him be white, just knock the colored man down, maybe lock him up and wouldn't even say nothing. Just let the white man gone. I've seen those things happen in my day. It never have happened to me, never have happened nothing close to me. But I don't know, I can't see the bottom of what caused it. That's one thing, when you go talking these things, you don't know what at the beginning of why that happened. Why that man has had hate in him, all people have hate in him. The hate is the biggest thing in the world, anything. Without hate, you wouldn't have no trouble.
Why would you say the blacks and whites have gotten along in Atlanta?
I think they've got along fine. Find it any place I guess you can find. So I've heard, I always said that. I know I always got along fine. Seemed to get along fine. In fact, the white have preference over the, the colored have preference over the white in so many things. I mean, so far as poor concerned. Poor white man catch more hell here than any colored man you've seen. It's when it comes to his pleasures. See, that's what hurts us. We got to have our pleasures for it. Before we get anything to eat, you know we want to eat. We don't get nowhere to fix to have it before we get it. We want to eat it, and we haven't got it. We want to go somewhere. We ain't got enough to buy what we want. But we want to go somewhere where the man got all the money, and we're going to go there and spend all we made a whole week just to see I went to a certain place and come out home and you come out doing all this kind of devilment. I take it. That's the fact. You can't get around that to save your life. And you haven't been trained from it. And these people that come to those places don't know it. Nobody don't train. We never have no way to be trained. Because some of these smart fellas get around here with me. That's where you shake him down. He feel like that's life. But you got to get a little something in your pocket. Or you can stand on your own. Then when you get a little something in your head, too, I don't care where you get it, you better get it. Get that understanding. I don't know where you get out of the cottage, I don't know where you get it, but you got to get it. You can't go somewhere and look up a tree and get a whole lot. It's a whole lot of things. You can get some good common judgment. Just go outside sometime, see the wind blowing, see it curving in the leaves. You follow it up, you get something out of what called to do that. So many things you can learn, and it'll profit you. You don't have to be worried. And so far as people own the whole world, if you get it, you can't keep it because somebody else is going to get it somewhere. I've never had one told. I've always been pretty well satisfied with my life. Never. Just got out and just wanted for something. If I wanted for it, I went to work and got it. Everything I ever desired to want to have, I got it so far at the age of 75. I've done what I put out to say I want to do.
Do you remember any instance here in Atlanta where a black man has been mistreated? Any specific instance where you know of a black man being mistreated?
Yeah, I don't know that I've known this. Been some have been just killed. I mean, sir.
Do you know who they were?
Well, I've known several, Hewitt, you know, Dr. Hewitt at Marsh Brown.
Would you tell me about that?
His brother was killed by some poor crap. Well, there's little boys playing over there, out there in South Atlanta. These poor pigs are out there, you know. Oh, that's a little poor crackers out in a cult cell running around, the women naked, I think. The boys seen him up the last time. So one of those crackers killed him.
You know what year that was?
That was, must have been 28, 20. Well, I can't remember.
Did the Ku Klux Klan come out?
No, I didn't. You know, I don't.
Well, did the blacks suffer any harm? Did any of the whites do anything to the blacks?
No, they didn't. They sell it pretty well. Sell it wasn't nothing upstart. It was a whole lot said, but it never away, because the main colored people got the gill, I guess, because at that time, I think about all the older colored people had ammunition, Winchester and everything. All they had to do was look them up. With all these so-called educators and big people here left Atlanta. I know that, I can see that. They left Atlanta that night it would happen. I know, because I remember being on Hunter Street in Asheville, calling the Hunter Asheville. And everybody you call of any standard, they was out of town, gone out of town. But it did left it here with the small fella, but it didn't have what they was ready for.
Is there anything else you would like to say about the relationship between black and whites in Atlanta?
Well, it's getting bad and bad every day, and I don't even know it now. It's got away from me. Because it's really getting bad. I don't know how it's going much longer, because there's too much hate in the color. Now, before you holler so quick about the white, we've got to get some of this hate ourselves. Now, I've seen some. Now, I know some. I don't know where. I don't know where it's any in the old ones, or not. But some of the young people right around in the 20s, they work with white every day by the side, and they see another white guy, and they just, this cause you white. They don't ever never seen before. Hey, let's do this. Let's shoot him now. Well, what does that help? That's what I want to know.
Well, I wouldn't think that would help anything.
See, but I experienced so much of that. I don't know what caused that. If you want to ever be friend to anybody, you got to kill your part. You ain't got to take nothing. I ain't never took nothing out of white things.
Well, you ever seen the whites do blacks that way? Was there ever a time when you were coming
up? When I was coming up, I haven't seen them. There's some that they said it wasn't worth it, because nobody was not taking no part with it, because those kind of people always steal and everything. It's like to do now. I know what I've had. That, you know, if you've been around cut for 50 years, you know, I could tell you things about people now that you wouldn't think it's so. They hide their money now, how they stole and got started, and how they used to do cult people. He might know one family now, of course this man is dead. He'll put in chain gang and get cult folks to steal for him. And then he pay detective money to lock up the nigga and send him chain gang so he get rid of him.
White man would do that?
A Negro man, get another Negro that wanted some quick money. Go somewhere in your house and steal some plumbing if you was building a house or anything. Now that nigga's dead, he cost his family and I living on something. I wouldn't reveal it, cause he catching hell not too big family, but I wouldn't deal if I just happened to be in it. But that's just one example. But there's some more.
That is an example of what whites did blacks that way.
Well, I guess there was, but I didn't happen to not be in the white race, so I wouldn't know it, but I just know about my own race. So seeing that done. But see, so far as all this stuff, white nor color, just don't live up to par. Certain percentage of them just don't live up to par, and certain percentage of them supposed to be not. See, so many names, heads thing, it don't qualify what it stands for. That goes for churches now, goes for all kind of things that's supposed to be charitable things. You have sometimes you feel like you just ain't worthwhile trying to do anything. Because I look like somebody's just in there, let's get what they can out of it. But it's a time now that something got to be done about hate. Hate is the worst. It'll destroy anything. He destroyed nation on top of nation, and destroying America. Now, how hate started here, I don't know. have idle foreigners brought in here. But they had to come too. They have to go from one place to another. The only trouble I ever had about anything different from my color, very bad, it's different, is a foreigner. So for the American born white man, I ain't never had no troubles. I know about how to get along with them, how to understand them. I know that's what they feel, but because any time a white man feel like he can trust you, you don't have to worry about him. But if he can't trust you, you always be watching, finding out. But he get, you can just live close enough to him. You do most anything, you go along with you in a color. But colored folks have always called it hard to get up to the white man because it's just hard to get. He couldn't get unless he had someone to speak for him.
Do you know of any whites that helped blacks get started in a business, you know?
Yes, all the colors in business, the white helped.
You know, there the names been. Of the whites who helped the blacks get started?
I wouldn't have been in business if the white had
helped. How did the white help you get started?
Well, let me have the stuff, huh? And pay me back or raise my interest. When I went in business, I went in debt for about, at that time, that was big, big money, $2,500. Big money, that was $250,000. Well, I won Jew. I give him $300 down. He let me have it for 2 years at 6%. And I didn't miss a payment paying him back. Thereafter, I get what I want. And another man, and so far as buying the first home I bought, when depression come, I just owed a little bit on him. Borrowed money on him and continue, look like can cut it down, none even went to government. They wasn't no better, they were worse than the other individual. So I met another white man. And he helped me out. He paid me out all the debt I was in and gave me a bank account in the bank of $300. Said, now go to it. So all you got to do what I tell you. Well, I did what he told me. Just tell the truth. So I went working, got $2,000 from him. That's what it took to clear him out of all the disorder after depression. A little dollar this and dollar that, electric bill old cut off or something, that still held it against you because he wasn't never paid. If I paid every bill off, when depression come, my business fell from $1,200 a week. Just $200 a week. And I was working 14 employees, not all regular, not all. Some of them school kids get out to wait 2 or 3 hours to living on wheels and all like that. Still, I was working as an employee. I was working 7 regular employees, shoemakers, cleaning, dry cleaning. I had a haberdasher, later working in that. I paid them for 2 months. Because people told me, oh, that's all right, it'll be yours. All the little money I had saved up, I paid out to my hip. Out of the bank, paying them, wasn't making it. When it was over, I owed so many bills, I didn't know how to start. But I said I'd pay them if I lived. That luck happened to me. I went to several real estate men. Make a loan. I had a cousin in real estate business. He swore I'll get you a loan because it's worth it. I know you. He fooled me a long time. So finally one day he come in and say, I'm just lying. He said, I can't get you no money. Can't get none for myself. Say, I know a man that I believe you're qualified with him. Say, I'll take you with me. Give me $10. I said, if you kill me, this man, if he's a man, you say he is, I think I'll give it to him. So he took me this man off. He got man talked to me about He was a lawyer, a retired lawyer, mostly in the modeling business. That's all he was doing, making money off of these people losing their home. He talked to them about 4 hours, learning everything. He told me everything about his family, everything when they come to him.